Rabbi, the subject to be discussed now, Be'ezer Hashem, is a finalization, a tikkun, of the Divrei Torah and Divrei Chizuk we heard and enjoyed these three wonderful days, Be'ezer Hashem. As in the previous Yarchi Kalas, I always try that the final words should be a continuation and an explanation of the final Divrei Torah and Divrei Chizuk and suggestions Lemaise, which the Bezriel Zayin Gezunt ended off and finalized. And this will be the discussion today, Be'ezer Hashem. But I think it's appropriate to mention several words, Minyana de Yema, of the 9 days, and tomorrow is Erev Tisha B'Av. We know that halachically speaking, Tisha B'Av has certain halachas and is called a Yom Tov. Kora Olai Moed. Tisha B'Av is a moed, a yom tov. To the extent we don't say tachnun on Tisha B'Av. And we know from Chazal that Tisha B'Av is the birth of Mashiach, and in the future it will become a yom tov. But in truth, Tisha B'Av is a yom tov. The word yom tov is a expression on the pasuk Vayar Elohim Es Ha'or Ki Tov, and the Almighty HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the light that it is good. And in different language, Yom Tov means a day of light. And we know from Chazal and from Svarim Kadoshim that the Or HaGonuz, the hidden light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in Ma'aseh Bereishis, on the first day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yehi Or, Vayar Elohim Es Ha'or Ki Tov. And then, Ro'a Es Ha'or, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the first creation of light, that when it was in this creation, Hoya Adam Ro'a Mis Soifo Oilam Ad Soifo, we were able to see to the end of the world. And Gonzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid it, and it's called in our language the Or HaGonuz, the hidden light. And we know that in Yom Tov, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, there is a reflection of Kedusha, of holiness, and of Or HaGonuz. And that is why we call those holy days Yom Tov. On Tisha B'Av, there is also a version of Or HaGonuz. And maybe let us rephrase the word Or HaGonuz, the hidden light, many lights, many truths, which all during the year are gonuz, are hidden, are swept under the carpet. We don't discuss, and we don't think about, become uncovered on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day when we think and discuss subjects and understandings, and we focus on certain situations of the past and the future and the present, which all during the year are gonuz, are hidden. And on Tisha B'Av, they are taken into open. And it's a wonderful day, because Or HaGonuz enlightens us misoif oilam al soifoi. And many of us are missing this Or HaGonuz. Many truths which our conscience, our seichel, our understanding, try to shove away in the side, not to think about. And Tisha B'Av is a day to discuss. And I would like to talk about many machshavas, many thoughts that many of us have very often, and we dare not discuss openly. Sometimes we discuss in short words. It's so odd that it's gonos. Let us discuss a few moments. And again, in the atmosphere of Tisha B'Av, maybe in different times we will discuss other things. Let us discuss a few moments our situation and a little of Yisayfa Oilem Al Sayfa, a little of the future. We are living today in the United States here. Many of us, as Am Yisrael as a whole, most of Am Yisrael are in the United States and Eretz Yisrael and other European countries. And today the world is becoming united. And intelligent people think about the future. We don't know the future. Let us talk about the present. It's no secret, never in the history of the Jewish people did we enjoy such freedom. If in other times of history the Jewish people enjoyed freedom in different countries, the extent that we have liberty in our modern world, in all respects, today, if for instance, if you have a Jewish boy learning in a college and there's an exam on this and this date, and maybe 300 or 400 years ago, before the Spanish Inquisition, in the golden era of Spain, and would have gone to the professor and would have told him, "I'm sorry, sir, but I cannot participate in this exam because it's the Jewish holiday of Shavuot." He would have at least gotten an answer. What is Shavuot? And why Shavuot? And maybe it would have beat up a discussion, and maybe he would have been granted. Today, it's a Jewish holiday. All right, we'll put it off for a week. We're respected. We have absolute freedom. Wherever you go, all over the world. And there are many other Michelle and many other of phrases. Of the freedom we enjoy. Let's not go into particulars because it's very famous. Let me tell you today, Erev Tisha B'Av, how I view it, Rabbi Stein. I feel, and again, it's my theory and opinion, and it's certainly not pending, it's not very clear. I always felt, Moshe Lamo Adorah Doimah, and Chazal tell us that Malchusa de Rakiya came Malchusa de Ara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs this world as in the way that this world, in the drachma, in the ways of our world. I feel it's Moshe Lamaha Dava Doyme. When a child sometimes, Rahman al-Islam, has an accident. Imagine a father, Yankala comes home, he wants a bicycle. And Tati says, "No, you didn't learn Chumash well, you're not going to get a bicycle." And Rahman al-Islam, a little accident happens. He crosses the street against the light. He just runs after a ball. A naughty little boy. A car stops short. And crashes into him. It wasn't fatal. He broke two ribs, Rahman al-Islam, and his leg. He goes to the hospital, and when he comes home, what's waiting for him is a bicycle. And why does Yankel deserve a bicycle? Because he had an accident. Rachmanu Litzlan, when after suffering, by nature, loving, doting parents, after suffering, try to comfort with luxuries. That's the nature. Sometimes even not an accident. When Yankel gets out, the zunta patchum tati, so for mommy he'll get under the table lollipop. If it wouldn't be for the patch, he'll never get the lollipop. Rabbi Sai, is our indulgence of comforts, of riches, of enjoyments, of freedom, of liberty, is this a lollipop after the terrible Holocaust that we went through just 40 years ago? We were trampled on almost to death. Almost to death. And injured fatally. Echod me'ir v'shtayne mishpoche. And after the terrible episode that happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hugged us and kissed us and embraced us and showered us. But Yankel has to realize that it's not going to be forever. He's not going to start living now on lollipops. He's not going to get a bicycle every day. He'll be consoled. When he's healed, he'll go back to Cheder, and things are going to come back again the way they used to be. Because Tati doesn't let Yankel live on lollipops. It's an embrace. It's a kiss. It's a hug. It's a consolement on the terrible tragedy that happened to him. And let us think for a moment of Tisha B'Av. In open eyes, in all which is gonos, in a light which is hidden all year round. And we read the kinnis, and we read history. And the kinnis is not only the cry of 2,000 years ago. And there are inserts of the Tzeres Tach V'Tat, and there are inserts of other terrible situations that Jewish people had all through the generations. And we sit and we think, why are we crying on the past? And we know that the past is a big mirror that reflects the future. And Tisha B'Av is a day of light for us. Tisha B'Av is a day that opens up genuzos, opens up futures which are hidden. And we hear baskels that tell us messages which all through the year we don't hear those sounds, we don't hear those voices. And many of us in our generation, let me talk about my own self. The audience here, 99.99% American Jewry, reads the paper, feels very good in the United States, and maybe your eyes are open to what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. The political situation, the change that came about in Eretz HaKodesh, not the last 10 years, but the last 2 years. You see people going on buses, looking under the seats, Achmor Litzlan. My children, Zangazan, played downstairs, and the Arab is sweeping up, and my wife says, Matis, Bobaita, come home. And they sweep our floors, and they clean the yeshivas, and they paint our homes, and it's all over. And over here, the same situation. And let us hear the Or HaGolos. There's something hidden here that's crying. And we know the world is a world of the Concord. It's happening fast. The financial situation in this country. And Abayisai, money in Hebrew is damim. Money is blood. Many of us here know that money is blood. Kol ha-goyzel prutim mechavera, if you steal a pruta, a penny from your friend, you killed him. Many of us know what these words mean. A penny could be a piece of life. In the last year, what change came about in this country? And we sit on Tisha B'Av, and we sit and we cry the tragedy of the Jewish people. And maybe today, this year, we'll have a more heartfelt Tisha B'Av than last year. And last year we had a more heartfelt Tisha B'Av than 2 years ago. And for us, sitting here and listening to the speaker talking, and they say, well, he's worried about the financial situation. He's worried about the security. The Arabs in Israel, the Shvatis in America. I can understand him. But let him talk about the Neshama. What about the Neshama? Rabbi said this is one of the biggest problems, which is an or a truth, which is gonus. I always say this. We always hear of our great grandmothers. When they benched licht, and they would cry, and they would daven, Ribono shel Olam, hit my yankir ezel dein ayid. What trouble of my children, they should remain yidden. And those tears of our ancestors is the reason why we Baruch Hashem sitting here today. And today, we bench licht, and our eyes are dry, and we're not worried. He's my angler. I could just watch over our children. Why do we need, excuse the expression, why do we need special watching over our children? And here we have Baruch Hashem Chadorim. We have Baruch Hashem Beis Yankiv. We have Baruch Hashem wonderful institutions. I don't want to go into practical particulars. I just would like to tell you a little story which I always relate. The brisket of the Chaim Letzarek Kodesh Levroche. The Kodesh Elyon, the Godel Hador. A short while, a few days before he passed away, and he was very sick, and he was lying on his bed, and he was in a, if we can say on such a great person, a bad mood. He was obviously broken, nervous. And the Bubba Lachaim Toiv, the Ponovich Rosh Yeshiva, who's today Ponovich Rosh Yeshiva Havshach, went and spoke to him, was close to him. And he said, well, not everybody leaves over a good family like yourself. And really, his older son, Zechayin Levrocha, was Rosh Yeshiva Zechayin Levrocha B'Sheber, a God of Israel. The Bubba Lachaim Toiv, the second son, is Rosh Yeshiva, great Rosh Yeshiva today in Yerushalayim, Abdovit. Another son, that mayor, also Rosh Yeshiva, two great sons-in-law, Rabbi Yankiv Shiv, Rabbi Michal Feinstein, the famous Rabbi Michal Feinstein, wonderful family, the Befoil. And the Briskerov answered with these words. And he said, Veinig Tehillim, Veinig Trerim, Veinig Taniyas, Habich Gosnavzeh. Was it for you the Tehillim? Was it for you the tears? And the first day that I spoke to my children, how much to heal him? How many tears? When he was a young man, he used to rock the baby. And he used to cry, because Baruch Hu should help that his children should be Talmid HaChachomim. And he was Zeicher. And he lived in a generation when the Jewish people were rich, with Gedolei Yisrael. In a generation when the yeshiva was flourishing, and his wonderful Briska home was a fortress from all the evils that came out from outside. The Biskrav's Chinuch, Reb Chaim Brisker's chinuch. Reb Avraham Kamalovitz has a story that when they were in Vilna, and he went back, he went to look for Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim's hat was in a home, and there was big latch on the door, and he banged on the door, and someone came, climbed up, and saw who it is, and they opened the door for him, and he asked him, Brisker Rav, Reb Chaim, what are you locking the door? Who are you afraid of? And he took out a Rambam, and the Rambam says that a person should always try to live with among tzaddikim. And if he can't live with among tzaddikim, then he should go out to a desert and should live by himself. Like Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, Mi'itzneini b'mizbor b'loin orachim. And Reb Chaim says, I'm in a situation that I can't be by myself, and I have no good neighbors, and he put big latch in his door to protect himself from inside. And the Brisker Rav was wrapped the vigula of his children, and he was zechet to five great six great Rosh Yeshiva's children, Rabbi Yisrael. And let me tell you a piece of Or HaGonuz, a light which is not so famous. The Brisker Rav, when he came to Israel with six or seven children, he left five children behind in the Holocaust with their mother. The five small ones weren't able to escape, weren't able to be rescued. And he once expressed by saying these words. He says, my small children are left behind. If they died, they died. Who knows if they're not running around in the churches? The priests, the Christians used to catch, by special used to catch rabbi's children, and used to bring them in for shmad. After all the tehillim, but when the world exploded and everything erupted, who knows? And we have Kleine Ingelach and Kleine Medelach. And let us open today Or HaGonuz, a piece of light, a truth which we keep under this carpet. Do we know what will be tomorrow? Do we know what will be the end of this story? A 30, 40 year old story? History isn't 40 years old. History after destruction is 2,000 years old. History is almost 5,500 years old. And we live in the country 30 years, 40 years as if it's ours forever. Yom Tov. Let us today make a Yom Tov. Let us open some light. Let us reflect the past and tell us something about the future. Why are we so comfortable? And that is why Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us Tisha B'Av, a day to sit and to realize truths. Let me tell you a little word. Chazal tell us, Af Noach Miktanei Amona Hoyo. Noach was a small believer. Noach was a small believer. And we learn that the Pasuk says, he went into the Teva, went into the Ark, Mipnei Mehamabu. The rain just pushed him in. The rain pushed him in. And Rashi says, Mayim Ve'enim, I didn't believe it was going to happen. This is a puzzle. Noach is tzaddik. Tomim. He built the Ark 120 years. 120 years. The mysterious Nefesh, everyone came and laughed at him. And then they wanted to kill him. And he built it in Mesirus Nefesh 120 years. He didn't believe it was going to happen. He was a small believer. I think the challenge is followed by side. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there will be a mabul. If the people don't do tshuva, there's going to be a mabul. There will be a flood. Noach said to himself, there's a decree that's going to be a flood. There's going to be a flood. In the last minute, Hashem won't do it. It's not going to happen. In the last minute, Hashem will erech apayim. He'll have compassion. He wasn't a believer. If you don't do tshuva, it's going to happen. And let me tell you another piece of history. Do you know who was a firm believer? Mordechai. When Mordechai was told that a decree was signed, Lahashmid ulaharig ulaabir kol ha'yehudim, no one will be left. And I sit in the yeshiva, and Bachel comes to me with 25 kashas on every Purim, and all the same kashas. How is it possible? What's about the Shavuot to Avraham Avinu? What's about the Kedis Yitzchok? What's about all the promises? What's about all the Shavuos? What's about all the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit? I don't know any truth in. And if Mordechai would have said the same thing, in the last minute, there's going to be a miracle. Then it would have happened. And he was worried, and he believed it. And he turned over the world, and he fasted. And he took together the children, they fasted 3 days and 3 nights. And they were, the tongues were out from thirst. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. How could it happen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have Rachmanis in the end. No, he said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. He believed in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him in the Nevuah. You should know I said it's going to happen. And then it didn't happen. And Leah said, well, it's, somehow it's going to be alright. And it happened. And Chazal tell us, Al Naharo is Bovel, Shom Yashav Nugam Vachin Ubezachreinu Es Tzion. On the banks of Babylonian we sat and we cried as we remembered Tzion. And the Medrash says, the many Medrashim, why now they start crying? One of the beautiful Medrashim, Yirmiyahu HaNavi went to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Roya Ne'eman, shepherd of the Jewish people, look what's going on. And Moshe Rabbeinu came, and it says what Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Shavoyim, spoke to the Goyim, don't inflict so much pain, don't separate mothers from children. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi brought Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Jewish people saw Moshe Rabbeinu coming. And they said, Hine Moshe Boli Go'oleinu, Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to redeem us. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Chayechem, Nigzer Gzeira, I am powerless. And Moshe Rabbeinu left them. And when they saw Moshe Rabbeinu leaving them, Al Nara is Bovel Sham Yeshavnu Gam Bachinu, they started crying. And these words, say in the Medrash, these words, Om Alehem Yirmiyahu HaNavi. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, Chayechem, I swear by your lives, if you would have cried once, B'Yerushalayim, if you would not have waited to cry on Arat Naris Bovel, if you would have cried one cry in Yerushalayim, Lo Yisem Boichim Kan, you would not have cried over here. And Abay said, this is a very important focus on Tisha B'Av. If we, as the Jewish people, are continuing, and we are living, and we will continue till Mashiach comes, it's because once a year we cry. And we cry before Chorban has come. This crying, this machshavis, this tshuva, this begging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we cry when we're still not yet on the Haris Bovel. This is what sustains us. And that is why we are able to push off Gzeiris and we hope forever and ever. But how important it is for us in these wonderful holy days to be worried, to cry. Now, crying is a wonderful thing. It's something which isn't easy. But let me discuss today, Be'ezer Hashem, what was suggested today as a tetzor, as an outcome from crying. Because crying is not tefillah. Chazal tell us, tefillah oisa machta. Tefillah is the half of the job. To be worried and to cry and to beseech Hashem is half of the job. It's created, the tears are created to open our hearts. Tefillah is like a harisha. It's like a plow. To plow our hearts, to plow the ground. But it's not enough. We have to put in seeds. You have to be constructive. You have to build. Tefillah, the tears, wet the ground, and it builds foundations. But that's not the building. That's not the building. Let us discuss for a few moments. In these days of Tisha B'Av, what should be the outcome of this cry? Now really, this was most of the Divrei Torah that we heard these three wonderful days. I would like to interpret some of the messages in maybe a little different light. But I would like to give a very small introduction what I'm trying to bring out at this moment. Really, the problem of Tisha B'Av is a problem of Am Yisrael. And we believe that every human being, every Yiddish kind, can help Am Yisrael. There are extremely wonderful chazalim to this light. There's a chazal that tells us that Elohim Yochid she'ose tshuva moichlin loy ulekol hader kuloy. I always say over the famous chazal, I'm a shumdik chazal. I'll say it over in short because I said it many times in different occasions. Many of you might have heard it. There's a chazal that chazal tell us that when the time of Achav, and there was a gzeira, and it says in Pasuk, Yan kishalachta ischer mi miyodcha, v'hoysa nafshecha tachas nafshoi v'amcha tachas amoi. And the Navi told Achav, your life will be instead of the king of Aram's life that you should have killed. And your nation will be, Rachman al-Islam, wiped out. And there was a gzeira on Am Yisrael. And the period the Navi tells us how the Navi went to someone and said, Hakeinu b'dvar Hashem. Hashem said to hit me, to strike me. And the first person refused and was punished. And the second person struck him and made a petza, brought out blood from him. And the end, Achav the Russia was killed in the war. And no Jew was injured. Every Jew went back home safely. And Chazal say, but there was a decree. And Chazal say, Shtei tipos dam, sheyosa ma'osei tzadik. Two drops of blood that went out from that tzadik, Kippur al Kol Yisrael. We are small people, and we're focused into ourselves, and we don't know the great powers of the Tzelem Elokim, and we don't know what Gzeira is. We, in our small maisim, in our small actions, we can push off. We don't know what greatness we possess in our Torah, in our Yerushalayim, in our Chesed, in behalf of all the Jewish people. But I would like today to discuss not this subject, which is extremely important, but I'd like to discuss for a moment Mibchina Odom Korav Eitzel Nafshe. Let us start off with a discussion. A person is close to himself. Let us discuss ourselves. I as an individual. And of course, in the end, we will realize that every individual is a foundation of the Jewish people. And there's a famous expression of the Chofetz Chaim. Someone once came to the Chofetz Chaim and told the Chofetz Chaim, what do we do? Before the war, before the Holocaust, Rachmanu Litzlan. And everyone saw what's going to happen. They don't know what's really going to happen. But there were a lot of tzaras and tzaras and tzaras from all sides. And someone came to the Chofetz Chaim for an etzer, for a segula. And the Chofetz Chaim said, what should I tell you? He said, if all the tzaddikim and all the chachamim and all the rishonim, all the achronim will gather together, no one can give a better etzer than Chazal itself. And Chazal tell us, Ma yaseh Adam v'yinotzu mechevli ha-mashiach. What should a person do to be saved from the pains of Mashiach? יעסוי בתוירי וגמילוס חסודים. And in this form, I'd like to elaborate for a moment. מה יעסה אדם בינותו מלחבי המשיח? We know that in times of tragedy, and again, all kinds of tragedy, I'm not talking Daska Rahman al-Islam to imagine tragedy as we saw 40 years ago. All kinds of tragedy. How much tragedy do we have today? How many children fall away from wonderful homes? We know that in time of tragedy, tragedy comes like a river. And it sweeps, and with an enormous power, and everyone is swept along. But we know in Yiddishkeit that not everyone is swept along. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yochel. Now I'd like to analyze a very interesting fact that I think it's important for us to realize in these days. I'd like to tell you a piece of history which I'm sure most of you know better than I do, because it was written up, today it's written up in books. I spoke about it in the previous seminars, and today it's written up. But I feel that I can relate it maybe better than most of you, because I heard it from my Rebbe Zechein Levechav Yeshaber, and the way he described it to me, with its beauty, with its greatness. 40 odd years ago, when the world had the most terrible earthquake in history, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and the Jewish people were up in flames, and all the yeshivas and all the Bata Midrash and all the Shtiblach, and Jewish homes were being destroyed and burnt, and the Shamas Kedoshas were flying to heaven. In those crucial days, when everyone was being swept away, Kivan Shenitna Rishus Lamashchis, Tzadikim and Rishoyim, together, as Netan of the Churban, there is a miraculous piece of history, in the little corner of history, of yeshivas that was saved. This piece of history is a stupendous phenomenon. Even I don't know English. I can't use cheaper words. A miracle, mamash kriyas yamsuf. I heard it being described by someone who lived it through, and it's hard to believe. It's miracle after miracle, a whole piece of history, which I'm not going to elaborate. The Mir Yeshiva as a prat. And the Mir Yeshiva, maybe, I could describe the best because I learned from Talmid Mir Yeshiva. As a whole, fled Mir and went to Vilna. It was a meshugas, an unbelievably Germany and Russia decided to be compassionate and honest and kind and give Vilna back to a free country, Latvia, Litva. And as soon as the Yeshivalite heard, they went all around, hundreds and thousands of refugees. And they learned Torah in Mir Yeshiva, and they fled to Vilna, and they learned Torah by Smada Atsuma. And as Vilna, they set up the divided Yeshiva into four parts. And you had to get a transit visa. They had to leave Russia. It's hard to describe all the pratim. Miracle after miracle and miracle after miracle. There was a Japanese consul. There was a Michigan, a Japanese private person who opened the consul in the name of the Japanese government and issued hundreds of Japanese visas. And you needed an end place where to go. And there was a Dutch boy that heard once about the island of Caracas. These were the Netherlands. The Dutch owned these islands. And the Dutch said that whoever wants to come, they come without a visa. He didn't need a visa. And they went to the Dutch consulate. And Dutch says, you can go there without a visa. So they wrote down on the visas. They got the Dutch director that this is a visa going to Caracas. I mean, I'm not going to describe all the process. I just want to come to the next point. And they took together dollars and 400 bochum from the yeshiva, and another almost 2,000 bochum from the Blini yeshiva and a lot of other yeshivas, became, got tourist visas on the Trans-Siberian Railroad, and they traveled all the way down to Japan. My Rebbe told me, he didn't tell me all the pratim, I found out all the pratim I told you until now, but he just told me of the trip that they went down to Japan. They went in a train, a tourist train, from the top of Russia all through Siberia till Japan. They traveled through cities. They stopped off in Moscow. All through the train, they sat and learned Torah. They had everything they wanted to eat. They came to Moscow. My Rebbe told me as follows. Tourist buses picked us up. They drove us through the streets. We saw lines of hundreds and thousands of people waiting for a piece of bread. And here a tourist bus is bringing Yeshiva Bachar to the fanciest hotel in Moscow. They gave us sardines. The Beshebet told me they gave us oranges. Most Bachar never saw an orange in their life. A delicacy. They made a shechiyono on the rear, didn't dare taste it. The next day, they brought in Moscow, and in Germany, and in Poland, Rachmana Litzlan, we know what's going on in those years. Tourist buses came, picked up the Yeshiva Bochum, and took them to the zoo. The Beshebet told me I didn't go. Took, but the Bochum went. They went to the zoo. And they passed through the streets, and they saw the whole Holocaust. And they were in the most expensive hotel in Moscow. And they all knew with a little microphone, a posik. And Chazal tell us when the earth erupted and all the Rishayim fell in. And the Bnei Koyrach, and not only Rishayim, they were tzaddikim, but the Bnei Koyrach, Mokon Isbatzalem, a bubble, in the middle of the Gehenim. And they were standing up there, Lama Natsiach Lebnei Koyrach Mizbah, saying Shira, not lacking anything. In the middle of the darkest time in Jewish history, not on American soil, not someplace in free land, in Siberia, Trans-Siberia, on these tracks that took hundreds and thousands and were taking hundreds and thousands to the worst gullus which ever was created. And here you have 2,000 B'nai Torah traveling like lords. Would you have an orange? Would you have a roll? And they were sitting and learning and talking shilas. And the shilas, what can we? Can we flush a toilet on Shabbos? The water goes out. And we can we turn the had benches, turn them into beds? And they talked and learning, didn't stop learning. And they finally arrived in Japan. And when they arrived in Japan, they had a problem. There were 400 yeshiva bachur and a mir yeshiva, they had to sit and learn Torah. And 10 years earlier, there was a meshugin yid, married to a goy, that had a meshudas, wanted to build a Jewish community in Shanghai. And built a beautiful shul. And on the bottom was a big mass kitchen. And there were, I don't remember the number, exactly enough seats for the mir yeshiva. Exactly. Not one bach was left out of seat, and it was an extra seat. I'm talking history 30, 40 years ago. And many people today remember it and will tell it to you. Many people today is being written up over and over again. Now this is a phenomenon of voice. And I don't know, I have no idea how to explain it. This is Dati Hashem. But let me just bring you a little mushroom. A little mushroom. In the worst, sometimes a family undergoes terrible pressure. You have to pack your bags and you have to run away. And it's gullus. It's exile. And the little children are running barefoot after the parents. And there's a little pimpernacle, a little yingle, a little baby, who's 2 months old. Is this child in Golos? The mother doesn't have water to give this child. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu installed that this mother nurses the baby. And this baby lacks nothing. Lacks nothing. Because she is the beloved child of this mother. And all the Golos, does this baby know that she is in this city and in this city and traveling and running? The baby is the mother's bosom and lacks nothing. Hashem ro'i lo echsa. In the worst situation of exile and of Golos and the darkest moments of Jewish history, there were certain people that previously were able to attach themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with such closeness. Kugomul Aleimi, like my mother who loves me, with such reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when the world is turning over and Achmanus and the train loads are going, they are traveling with the manna. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Shechina, sof, we know that Am Yisrael as a whole and the Shechina HaKadosha will reach the Mashiach Tzidkenu. And these kinderlach that attached themselves, that were so attached, that refused to stop nursing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yir Shamayim, in the worst situation, they are guaranteed Hashem Ro'i Lo Yechsa. Now, how do we get this attachment? Again, it's Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av, we sit on the floor, and there's a big mirror in front of us, a mirror of the past, and reflecting futures. Because the Torah tells it to us. And the question is, how can we get this attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ma yasa odon v'yinotim chelei ha-mashiach. And let me tell you the answer, Rabbi. The answer is, I believe, and again I'm speaking in my own theory, I believe there's nothing a Jewish person can do to deserve this love and this attachment on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't believe there's any mitzvah. I don't have any suggestion to tell anybody in this audience that we can guarantee ourselves this attachment. I feel and I believe that this attachment has to come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's side. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to decide, I love my child, and he is my child, my baby, and he's always with me, I'm always hugging him. But who is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's child? Who is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's B'nei B'chayri Yisrael? We're all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kinderlach. And here is the point. Here is the point. The point is the love and the closeness between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people is a natural one, is an eternal one, is deep. As the Pasuk says, Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlu L'Chabek Sa'ahavo. Gushing waters cannot extinguish the love. And rivers cannot overrun it with its waters. And to exchange all riches for this love, all the riches cannot cut off this ahava. And when we and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are together, then this love becomes ignited and attaches us. I'll bring you a little mashal, Rabbi Sai, from a voice I once heard from an old Sfarish Yid. There was an old Sfarish Yid in Eretz Israel, a Yid who learned a lot of Kabbalah, printed today the Sfarim of Kabbalah, he printed most of them. And he used to talk a lot about Eretz Israel. His name was Chacham Mordechai Atiyah, an old man. He was a rabbi in Mexico, maybe 40, 50 years. And I met him in Yerushalayim. And he used to talk to me about Eretz Israel. And I feel that maybe Erev Tisha B'Av, I could tell you over this vote, Sof Kol Sof is the time to yearn for Eretz Israel. And I once told him, Rebbe, I told him, what kind of Eretz Israel? This is Eretz Israel. And he used to say every Jew is supposed to live in Eretz Israel. And he wrote little booklets about Eretz Israel. And he once went to the Satmar Beis Medrash to Daven Mincha, and they beat him up. He probably deserved it. He talked too much about Eretz Israel. Eretz Israel. But he didn't know. He was an old Yid, and I used to think Yitzhak doesn't know. And I once opened my mouth and told him, Rebbe, I told him, what are you talking about Eretz Israel? This is Eretz Israel. This is Eretz Israel. Look at the priests. Look at the Chilul Shabbos. Look at the Chilul HaKodesh. And he told me these words. He says, listen, he says, when you have a couple sitting at home, a man and wife, sometimes they're happy with each other and sometimes they fight. Sometimes they love each other and sometimes they forget they love each other. But as long as they're at home together, they could squibble and squab. And they could turn their backs and sometimes even throw frying pans. But chances are, in the end, they're going to make peace. But if Chas V'Shalom, the husband or the wife, picks himself up and goes out, then there's no hope. Because if they leave home, how can they make peace together? Just not together. He said, in Eretz Israel, he says, we're in a terrible squabble with HaKadosh Baruch Hu today. But if we're together at home, in the end we'll make peace. In the end we'll make peace. But if you're outside, if you run away, if you're out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home, then what's going to happen? This is the word that I heard from this Alter, Svarish to Talmud Chacham. Now let us bring back the subject, not to the subject of Eretz Israel. When we build Jewish homes, if we can bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu into our home, if we can be united, and every time when Yom Kippur comes, we say Hashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, and we say it to the whole Aleph Beis, Ribono Shel Olam, there's 22 letters in Aleph Beis, and I did have various with all the Aleph Beis. And as the Bezir said, we're not mavatim one alchet. We say so many alchet, so we count in on them, we do them again over a year because we want to make more progress. I told the Baruch Hu, I don't care if you wouldn't do so many. But when we are united with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our homes, then by nature, the love and the closeness is ignited. And one day more and one day less. But when Chas V'Shalom, there is a mechitza between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what is this mechitza? We know that by sight, in Yiddishkeit, and Yiddishkeit is in the Torah hundreds of times, and we heard today beautiful Divrei Torah Mishalim, that Yiddishkeit is like married life. And it starts off with the chasna of Matan Torah. And the meaning of the Sfaradim is that you read a ksuba on Shavuos. Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shloimoi. Yishakeinim Anishi Kos Pihu. The love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. What is the basis of a love between a husband and a wife? And what is the basis of love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael? And we say it every day. The Ahavtos Hashem Elokecha, Rabbi Sai, is second message. And Hashem Elokecha Tira is second message. Message number one is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. When a husband and a wife know each other, when they know this message, this is the basics of love, this and only, that is one and only. When there is yichud, Then you can ignite love, and love will be ignited. Chas v'sholem, when there is interference, as much excitement there might be between a husband and wife, and there's no shaychus, and there's no shaychus to love. The foundation of Ava has to be Yichud Echot. What is based, on what is based our love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And I believe it, especially in our generation. When the Chosin tells the Kala, Harayat Mekudesh Esli, Kidas Moshe V'Yisrael. What is the word Mekudesh? The word Mekudesh in little translation, as the Gemara explains it, is Mekudesh, as the Gemara says, Kedusha is expression of Isur. Harayat Mekudesh Esli, the Gemara explains it, Harayat Asura L'chol Odom, you are prohibited to any other man, Lihiyot Sheli, therefore you are mine. We don't tell our Kala under the chuppah. You don't tell our Kala under the chuppah how much I'm going to love her and how much she's going to love me. As the Bezeel said, because I don't know her Bichla. I don't know who I came with, I don't know who I fell into. What's the basis? What's the basis of the contract? How do we know we can get along? No problem. No problem. An ordinary person like myself, excuse the expression, I'm sure I can get along with any cow in the world if she be the only woman in the world. Guaranteed. That's all there is. There's a famous story, Yeshua Bach, I shouldn't say it. It's a joke in the middle of everything. The famous story, Yeshua Bach, who took a kala. And the Gemara says, B'nai Yisrael, Yofi Sayyid, if there was such a thing, she was ugly. So, they asked him, why'd you take such an ugly woman? I thought they were all like that. I never saw anything else. Rabbi Yisrael, that's happy marriage. That's happy marriage. Rabbi said, we had a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we could be as ugly as we want. But if we would have Kodesh Baruch Hu, one and only, that's happy marriage. But the moment we bring into our lives other interests, other ideas, imagine under the chuppah, after the chuppah, under the Sheva Brachos, after the Sheva Brachos, and the Kala's eyes are wandering, and the Chosin's eyes are wandering. Rabbi Yisrael, it's finished. Forget it. Forget it. Doesn't matter how beautiful she is, how wonderful he is. Forget it. I'd like to continue the subject just one more moment. But first let me just finish, and then I'm going to add another very important point, practical point. If we, today, in our times, we can attach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with an attachment of Kedushin. And the question is raised, what greatness can I do that we can be sure that in any situation HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hold us close to Him? How much prayer do we have to learn? How many tears do I have to soak my Minchas Yehudit in? Do I have to soak it with tears? Do I have to every day wring out my tear with tears in order to be known that I'm close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How many Blessed Gemara do I have to memorize? And the answer is, that's not the point. The point is, if an HaKadosh Baruch Hu walks into our home and he sees the Gemara open and closed, but only the Gemara. He sees the Siddur open and closed, but only the Siddur. There is no Rishus Acher. And this was a wonderful suggestion that we had heard in the last few minutes of these three wonderful, wonderful days. A 50-day quarantine. What will these 50 days give us? 50 days, no newspapers, no magazines. Turn off for the media. What greatness will this give us? And the answer is, on our side, no greatness whatsoever. Nothing, it won't give us anything. You cannot grow from not listening to the radio.
You cannot grow from not reading the newspaper. You cannot grow from not looking at all the stylish magazines. But you can become dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And He, Hashem Yisbarach, on His side, will shower you with so much greatness, with so much closeness. I had tried to describe this on Erev Shabbos. I spoke about Shabbos. What do we have to do on Shabbos? How are we zeichah to Kedushas Shabbos? When we take the wine and we say, Vayechulu HaShemayim, and those great tzaddikim, the wine was cooking in their hands. How do I make the wine cook in my hands? And the answer is, it doesn't say Mekadosh Yisrael v'HaShabbos. You don't have to generate that greatness. But it's Zochor Yisrael HaShabbos. Remember that it's Shabbos. Shomer Yisrael HaShabbos. Keep Shabbos pure. Don't interfere with the Shabbos. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu on His side will Mekadosh HaShabbos. Zochor. Remember that you have an HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember we have a Torah. Shomer, keep the purity of the Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu from His side. It is unimaginable for us to realize or to think of the greatness that will be installed in us, not by our deeds or our own greatness. It's a present from Hashem. But we have to stop this interference. We have to just say these words, Echod. And when the Yid says Echod, and all of a sudden he gets excited, and he's filled with love. What did he do to be filled with love? Didn't come from him, it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now I would like to delve a little deeper into this point with a little practical view of it. It's very interesting that in Nisuin, in the Yiddish minhagim of Nisuin, I remember I was once sitting with the Bochum, standing with the Bochum outside of the Beis Medrash in Yerucham, and there was a car driving around honking the horn. Honking the horn, honk all on Yerucham, driving on Yerucham, honking the horn. It's a Meraka minute in Eretz Yisrael till today. The night of the Chasna, they take the collar, put it in the car, and they drive around the whole city, honking the horn. I told the Bochum, how do you analyze what's going on here? And one Bochum says, Pritzis. And I said, Kedusha. This is Kedusha. Kedusha is Yisrael. And I explained it to them. And this minhag goes back to the time of the Rishonim. In the time of the Rishonim, they didn't put the collar into a car. They put the collar on a horse, and with an uncovered face, they prance around the whole town. This is a minhag of tzaddikim of kedushim. Until today, the collar is under the chuppah, and they cover the collar's face. What is this about? Why don't you let the collar's face, now, especially now that she's married? Okay. With smears. And the answer is very simple. I'll illustrate a moment. Today in our modern world, many people don't like big weddings. Do you know why they don't want big weddings? I don't want to go into the subject, but I just want to tell you my own feelings. If you don't like what I said, just put it aside. And I experienced many times a Baruch Hanai Yeshiva becomes a chosen. He doesn't want a big engagement. You know why? Because he's not really sure of himself. You understand? Because if he makes a big party out of it, and all the friends come, and the Rabbonim come, and it becomes famous, and he has to break it, then it's not so good. So, you know, he wants to keep it quiet until you know. And I say, look, boy, Cheverman, don't break the plate. But if you break it, there's going to be 200 people there. If you do it, it's going to be binding. And it's a Yiddish minhag. If you want something to be Dovash or Kayoma, commit yourself. Don't hide it. Commit yourself. And then you have a Jewish girl. Until now, she was unmarried. And you take this girl, and you ride around the streets. Everyone should see her. She is a married woman. That's Kedushas Yisrael. From now on, if anybody talks to her, what's going on? I said she's a married woman. This is Kedushas Yisrael. to commit yourself and to make it famous, and the next day she's locked into her house. She can't show her face in the street anymore because everyone knows she's married. Could you imagine she would have got married in secret? The next day she fights with her husband, she will start walking the streets. She can't walk the streets because she, just yesterday they walked her through the streets. She committed herself. And that's why we make big chasanis. And we uncover the caller's face. Because the caller under the chuppah took the ring. Commit yourself. Everyone should know. I belong to this chasan. It becomes famous. And this is what keeps Kedushas Yisrael. And the same, Rabbi Yisrael, is true in our shayachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many times we want to do tshuva, but we don't want to commit ourselves. Many times we want to change face. I want to bring you a little mushroom. Seminar number 29. Seminar number 29. And the Brazil sat me up here to speak. And I'm going to be a little personal. And every time the Brazil has wonderful suggestions, let me just pluck one of them. One of them is, make a seder with your wife. Make a time to learn together. And, can I inherit? Baruch Hashem, my wife is Angezunt, is Baruch Hashem, everyone's going to say, I will tell her, I appreciate your brokers, we just now engaged my oldest son. And she's becoming older. And as things happen, you know, she's aching here, waking there. And she says, what do I do? I said, you should learn Shai B'Tochen. And she hints me, yeah, we should learn Shai B'Tochen. And I make myself like I'm not listening. And I remind, well, the Bazir had given suggestions. You know what? Maybe tomorrow. But I don't really have... And today, this afternoon, this morning, the Bazir says, make a seder with your wife. And I say to him, yeah. The only way I could accomplish this, you know how? It's too late now. Before I lectured, if I would have gone to the telephone, I would have dialed collect to Eretz Yisrael, and I would have said, Ima, anachnu osim seder b'shayah b'tochen. And she would have said, Hishtagaka? What happened? I said, oh, it'll be too late. I committed myself. And then when I come home, things will be different. Things will be different. Make a commitment. Make a commitment. And I once did it. I once had the faith. I came back from Eretz Yisrael, and I called up the Menahel of my children, and I said, Yuda, his name is Yuda Levison of Tzadik Mamish. Yuda, come over here. My son is learning how to call Hillel. Come here, Hillel. How much does it cost? How much do you pay for the Rebbe on Hillel? Mata Srich Ladat. What do you have to know for? And even Tevash Alem. And I just became black. Are you crazy? What did you do? It was too late. I committed myself. And it wasn't the first time. It wasn't the second time. It was the third time. You know, I did it the first time. I react mekudeshously. But Habas there. And I said to myself, wait a minute. Well, am I sure? Sorry. It's too late. Too late. Until Bisa Yosef, just curled the finger. Finished. Too late. And the same is true with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam, if we commit ourselves to Avos Hashem, to Echot, Ribono Shel Olam, we came to a seminar and we're still excited. We had three wonderful days of Kedusha of Taira. And if we, when it's still hot here, and there are a couple sitting in two sides of the machitzes, and there's a telephone. If we can come out with maskanis, Ribono Shel Olam, 30, 40 days, 40 days, 50 days, I am yours. No one else will be in my heart. No magazines, no. That's just, I'm purely yours. When we come home, and all of a sudden want to pick up this paper, what did I do? Am I crazy? Too late. So the Baruch Hu is looking over us. Said, I didn't say forever. 50 days, I said. And it's unimaginable how much Kedusha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's part will be installed into our hearts. And if we can live a life of Echad, we can become Kagom L'Laimi. And many of us are very worried about these suggestions because they might have a lot of consequences in our eyes. Kagom L'Laimi. My business will go and my society will continue. Maybe I'll find a little nicer society. But I am Kagom L'Laimi. We can get a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this closeness, and I would like to repeat everything I was trying to bring out in these few minutes. I believe and I hope that the wonderful story that I had related before, how in the middle of the worst of tragedies, a person can find himself held close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yipol mitzidcho elef, urevov miminecho, eilecho lo yigash. Kato Hashem machzi, you are my protection. Elyon samtimo inecho, l'yisu'un olecho ro. Ki malocho v'yitzav olecho shmo b'chol drachecho. We saw just 30, 40 years ago, in the middle of the worst situations, those that are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I honestly believe that this is not a product of greatness. It is a product of pureness. It is a product of dedication and of closeness. If we can be Echad Ibn Shalom, I have nowhere else in my heart. There are no corners in my heart to anything besides that Kaddish Baruch. And I'll both side. I didn't realize it was so late. I just would like to finish with one word. If we want to test ourselves, how close will we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Let us test ourselves. Let us measure ourselves for a moment. And I'm going to say something which is, which might put us, a lot of us, into problems. Many times, and excuse me for using this mashal, but it's a Torah-dikah mashal. The mashal is a mashal of Torah. And the Torah uses it time and again. Many times the bracha comes to me. And they go out, a boy and a girl meet. And he says, how can I tell? Now, I don't know American standards. I don't know how many times they go out in this country when the boy is sure and the girl is sure. I don't want to discuss it. But I'll tell you the answer that I give in my community. I say, look, you don't have to strike up love because we're Jewish. You want to meet? We don't have to meet now. Meet after the chasm. You'll meet plenty of times. You don't have to meet now. You'll have plenty of time to meet. But what you have to find is, when you're together, you're talking together, the time passes quickly, the company is enjoyable, it's a good shit. If you're sitting together and the company is monotonous, you feel turned off, then find someone else. If the company is enjoyable, and you look at the watch that now went by, break a place. That's a shmerida. Now, this advice, you could all push under the carpet. Well, maybe you can use it sometimes. Now, by sight, when we pick up Divrei Torah, is the company enjoyable? When Shabbos Kodesh comes, are we bored? Or is the company enjoyable? Does the time pass? If the time passes, we open up a sefer. I'm not bubbling, but the time passes. Then, you're close. But if you're looking, you go into a whatchamacallit, to a drugstore, and you're looking for sleeping pills, and the guy says, what's out for sleeping pills? Take a mishnayis. And the moment you pick up a safe, all of a sudden you realize that you're tired and you're aching and you're thirsty and you're busy. Then it's a problem. It's a problem. And it's a chazal. Chazal tell us, it's Tisha B'Av words. And you didn't call me Yaakov. You got to be Israel. Because you become tired of me. And Chazal said these words. Yossi Zelo Yikol Hayom. A man sits and talks all day. And he doesn't get tired. Omolei Chaveret. Taught me. Brothers learn something. Listen, Yochanan, I'm dead tired. I'm saying, quoting. Yossi Veloi Kol Hayom. A fellow talks all day. Omolei Chaveret. Taught me. Come at Davin. Listen, Yochanan. I'm too tired. I have no courage. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Halavai lo hakaticho Yaakov, I wish I never would have known you. Ki yagata b'Yisrael, I'm making you tired. I don't want to tire you out. And this is the problem. Because if this is the measure, then we're in trouble. And I want to tell you that, boy, one of the biggest problems of Yiddishkeit is to get a taste for Yiddishkeit. And I want to tell you how to do it. We don't need to acquire a taste for Yiddishkeit. We don't need to acquire a taste for the beauty of the Torah. Our mouths are watering for the Torah. The only problem is that our mouths are filled with hot pepper. Our mouths are filled with dust. And we lost our taste. But our natural glands are yearning for Torah. The moment we will spit out all that interference, you'll see. Take these 50 days and let's cleanse ourselves. Just cleanse ourselves. You'll see how much enjoyment, how much cheshek, how much radiance you can find in your own neshama, by nature, just by cleansing ourselves. Because we are naturally attached to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is one of, or part and parcel of all of us by nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to us. That's all we need is to cleanse ourselves, to wash ourselves, to reject everything which contradicts Torah. Zochor es Yom HaShabbos. Remember that it's your Shabbos Dikiyid. Shabbos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember that it's Shabbos, Shvisa. Go away from all the media of the world. Shomer es Yom HaShabbos. L'kadshay baruch atah Hashem ekadosh haShabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open up the gates of heaven and will shower you with kedusha and bracha and closeness. Wherever we will be, whether it's Tisha B'Av or Pesach, and with us, let us try to respond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to be alone, to, as much as we can, to think about Am Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help. We should all be embraced close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Bezeche Bezer Hashem, this year Bezer Hashem to the Gula Shlem.
Shalom. כל הלשון מפיצת הקליטורים, ובהם שיעורים במבחר נושאים, במחיר 2 שקל לתקליטור, מכיל 40 שעות שיעור, כמו כן, תקליטורי DVD המכילים כ-330 שעות שיעור. ניתן להזמין תקליטורים או תקליטורי DVD במשרדי כל הלשון 02-581-6622, או בכתובת דור אלקטרוני cdstrudel@kohl.com. אם ברצונכם לפתוח תחנה להתנת נגנים או להפצת תקליטורים, תוכלו ליצור קשר עם משרדי כל הלשון. ניתן לקבל בדואר אלקטרוני או בפקס את רשימת השיעורים הקיימת בכל הלשון. לקבלה בפקס, הקישו 03-617-1111, הקישו 0 עם הכניסה למערכת, ולאחר מכן 5 ופעלו לפי ההוראות. לקבלה בדואר אלקטרוני, שלחו הודעה lstrudel@kohl.com. שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי הרבנים במאמץ ובהגיעה. אם ברצונכם לסייע לרבנים מגידי השיעורים או למוסדות התורה בהם הם מלמדים, תוכלו להעביר כסף ישירות לרבנים על פי בחירתכם. הוצאות אלו מוכרות לצורכי מס כהוצאות, וכן כתרומה מוכרת בכל העולם. תוכלו להתקשר למשרדי כל הלשון 02-581-6622 או להשאיר הודעה בכתובת המייל d.strudel@kohl.com. תודה וכל טוב.